Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled Inside the Mind of an ATCA System Architect. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's experts Peter Merrick of Advantech and Aviv Miller of Telco Systems. Our experts will be running through material. We'll be leaving about 10 minutes at the end of the hour for Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your audience console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. You'll definitely want to take advantage of this because there's a lot of great technical content in the material today. Download the Slides button allows you to download then print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone, including a registration link so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit a question at any time during the presentation, and we encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the questions fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these questions as we can during the closing Q&A. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you. Also, you'll notice during the presentations that there will be three poll questions. You'll see a pop-up on your screen. You just simply select the radio button to take care of those. Aviv Miller is one of our presenters today. He's a product manager for Telco Systems, responsible for the development and evolution of Telco Systems' advanced TCA product line. He previously served as a business development manager for Advantech Rep, a system integrator for ATCA products and embedded solutions, and Aero OCS, where he specialized in hardware platforms for TEMS and NEPS. He holds a BSc in electrical and computer engineering. Peter Merrick is our second presenter. He is a senior director of x86 solutions at Advantech Network and Communications Group. He is responsible for the implementation of x86-based technologies across a broad portfolio of Advantech's telecom networking and products. Peter's background is heavily rooted in hardware design and systems architecture for blade architectures like ATCA, Advanced ATCA, Compact PCI, and AMC cards. So we're going to kick off the presentation, and we're going to be talking about telecom and datacom and security issues as well as next-generation architectures. We usually talk a little bit about the market need, but I think we're going to dispense with that. I think we all know that the communications data rates are vastly increasing, and multimedia and video are providing a strain on telecom systems. So I think we'll just kick off the system right now and start with Peter. Peter, let's talk about what's going inside your system architect mind here. You're in daily discussions with network equipment providers. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about some of the trends you're seeing and problems in which communications providers are needing to resolve to meet operator and customer demands?
Sure, Kurt. Thanks for the intro, and welcome to all the folks joining this eCast. So the challenges are basic challenges that we have all the time. It's all about faster, better, cheaper. So that's nothing new. Just in this area, it means exploding data rates. It means that users are more sensitive to user experience, quality of service, and at the same time, the revenue per user is shrinking. So what a lot of our customers see is that there is a big rush in time to market, and they need to bring out scalable platforms that meet several sweet spots that are optimized for price performance at various points to meet the demand of the market, because one platform cannot fit it all. So there is a big pressure for having optimized platforms out there, controlling your total cost of ownership, and then have some sort of design or architecture reusability that allows you to scale up and refresh your product lines as needed. Back to you, Kurt.
Okay, great. Thanks, Peter. Can you tell us a little bit more about the hardware building blocks that systems architects have at their disposal?
Yes, sure. So there's a wide range of building blocks here, and actually this is one of the strengths of ATCA, that you have several processing architectures at your hand as standard off-the-shelf products, offered by wide ecosystems. So there is, of course, Intel-based processing. There's DSP or FPGA processing for media. And there's special purpose processing like NPUs for packet processing, traffic management, and things like this. You have integrated switching and also the availability of special purpose IOs, usually in the form of AMC cards. And all of that is embodied in a highly available, fully managed carrier gate system. And on the software side, there's a full ecosystem of software renders that provide high availability middleware or networking middleware, and a lot of vendors and integration partners out there make sure that customers don't have to worry about integrating all these building blocks, but can deploy a fully integrated system solution. Back to you.
Great. So you did talk a little bit about the switch, and that evidently plays a pivotal role in pretty much every networking technology. This seems like a good point to hand over to Aviv from Telco Systems to discuss how ATCA switching architecture and software come into play, particularly focus on telecom. Aviv? Hello, Aviv. If you're on mute, maybe you're on mute if you want to unmute.
Just say thank you, Kurt, and thank you, Peter, and welcome to the audience. And yes, I will use this opportunity to drill down and discuss the details of ATCA switches related to telecom application from a hardware perspective this moment. Let's begin with the capacity and density. The rapidly growing demand for increasing bandwidth due to mobile handsets and smart devices used for video and data rather than voice mandate operators to have a multiple 10 gig and 40 gig switches capabilities with total capacities of hundreds of gigabits per second. As data center equipment and telecom equipment has become more and more similar to each other, the port density is very important and is looking to be more and more to be on the front panel. So there is no need for RTM and a requirement to have IO at the front panel became very common. This reduced the cost of RTM and the unified technician accessibility in the NOX cabinets is very easy. Global Tier 1 carriers have completed the transaction to 40 gig e-fibers in order to save the cost of deploying multi 10 gigs fiber lines. Those fibers are between the POPs and from the aggregation layer to the core network. In telco system ATCA switches available today in the market, typically the 40 gig ports can be diverted to 4 times 10 gig to increase infrastructure support also for 10 gig trunks. If desired, short range or long range support both. Thus, support for both 10 gig and 40 gig infrastructure design are allowed simultaneously without damaging the overall throughput of the switch. Therefore, there is still time before we need to go to 100 gig port switches, which are commonly missed perception for 10 times 10 gig aggregation device. As data increases and the service packages offered to consumers is reduced, there is additional motivation to use new multi 10 gig 40 gig ATCA switch technology. The cost per 10 gig port using a 40 gig switch versus an older design of 10 gig switch provides tremendous saving, typically around 35 to 45%. The new designs also provide saving in transceivers cost, power consumption, and rack space. While capacity is important, port density is often high priority to allow connectivity to a large number of customers and legacy equipment. Let's discuss interoperability within ATCA. Requirements to assure maximum throughput and maximum performance. Interoperability must be ensured between different vendors at the silicon level and at the solution level. For example, backplane-based high-speed links using 40G-based KR4 or 4x10G-based KR with multi-NIX vendors from the payload side, such as Intel, Broadcom, and Mellanox. Unfortunately, these are not plug-and-play capable sometimes and must require pre-integration and interoperability drivers, and sometimes software and firmware modification to prevent unnecessary packet loss. At the network solution level, while most protocols used in telecom applications standardized, there are still implementation differentiations and interoperability needs to be verified. Protocols such as spanning tree, lag, and OEM are running to the uplinks, but in some cases are adopted and need interoperability. In ATCA system, they are also sometimes used on the backplane for redundancy application, for example. By solving the raw bandwidth battle we just spoke about, another key requirement in telecom ATCA is the ability to assure service level agreements. The SLA guarantees the service end-to-end and not only within the chassis or a product. Typically, carrier, data center, and large enterprises require committed SLAs for carrier Ethernet. Services, including latency-sensitive applications such as financial or video traffic. To address these needs, the ability to manage, monitor, and troubleshoot service performance using hardware-based OEM that can detect failures, degradation, or change in the service parameter, the real-time measurements of key metrics becoming mandatory. We will further discuss it later in our presentation. Another key requirement is synchronization. Mobile network and their backhaul applications are extremely time and synchronization sensitive and becoming much more dominant as mobile data become more common. There are several synchronization schemes that are used by different vendors and operators. ATC application requires to support for different synchronization schemes like BITS, SYNC-E, and IEEE 1588 version 2, as well as the ability to interwork and convert between synchronization methods. Using the dedicated channels integrated on the ATCA backplane ensure grandmaster clock synchronization between all payload blades. While most applications are becoming IP and packet-centric, there is still a very large amount of legacy equipment deployed in the field, used by enterprises as well as mobile operators, which are looking to still use their older generation technologies for voice while using new 4G infrastructure for data. This creates the need to support convergence from TDM over IP, thus allowing for the support of TDM services without the high fees associated with maintenance of TDM connections and infrastructure. Circuit emulation service, known also as CES technology, embedded inside ATCA system is a way to address seamless migration to IP. Lastly, I wanted to mention the growing need to allow for use and reuse of fiber in both short and long-haul applications, combined with the ability to diagnose and the connection at the physical layer. Supporting of 80 kilometers and even 120 kilometer receive and transceive, combined with the ability to qualify signal quality and strength, requires strong hardware design to account the thermal and software aspects of digital diagnostic and monitoring. Next slide, please. While hardware ATCA standards have been well defined over the years, new protocols are being added and reflected to allow better use of IP and packet networks in telecom applications. Switching, routing, and resiliency protocols have been developed and standardized to support new 1, 10, and 40 gig E standards. This list is just a partial list of the standards and protocols we're supporting that our service provider customer have had us implemented. We will focus on these four subjects, which we feel are critical for successful deployment of true carrier-grade class solutions in the telecom market. High availability and resiliency of the system in the blade, link, and service level. OEM capabilities, which keep evolving. Improved manageability and load balancing to more efficient operated ATCA solution in a changing environment. Back to you, Kurt and Peter.
Oh, thanks. I'm sorry about that. Sounds like there's a lot of resiliency and OAM things going on, speeds and feeds and network intelligence going on. Peter, maybe you can talk into context about using a typical telecom architecture example.
Sure. What we see here is the implementation of a typical 3G or LTE network element based on ATCA. You see a bunch of horizontal lines which are there to mimic the interconnects within the backplane chassis. The backplane in the chassis, of course. First of all, you have redundant management buses which hook up to the shelf manager in each of the blades. You also have a synchronization interface that's mostly for TDM type clock distribution. As Aviv pointed out, there is some need to synchronize elements or building blocks within the system. And then there is two dual store networks. One is a gigabit Ethernet interconnect, which is usually used for control plane information, and then you have a fabric interconnect, which is usually a 10 gig and more recently also 40 gig pipe there. That's the interconnect in the system. And on the system elements, we start off the switching, which is usually where the I/O hang off the blade, but also, of course, where all backplane traffic goes through two of those switches. And you need something to control the system that's usually, we have an AMC carrier in, that's usually used to provide legacy or special purpose I/O cards based on AMCs. And now we're jumping to the control, which is usually based on Intel. But in the meantime, Intel-based processing boards have evolved for more, of course, application processing, but also some of the packet processing, which is usually handled on special purpose blades like MPU blades. And if you need media capabilities within the system, you usually have some sort of a media blade, usually based on DSPs for special purpose processing.
Okay, interesting. So sounds like there's a lot more components going on in terms of putting together an ATCA system. Aviv, can you spend some time on going over high availability, resiliency, redundancy aspects that you talked about in the telecom environment?
Yes, sure. Thank you again. Let's discuss the high availability and the redundancy on ATCA solution. The ATCA standard was established as a response to the need that carriers were facing in order to support 5.9s on critical systems that affect service delivery. These are translated to a set of redundancy capabilities at a different level of architecture. The first level is the hardware system level. It ensures a redundant design so there is no point of failure for power supplies, fans, shelf manager, fabric channel, management channels, blades, and switches. Part of the design is the HPM spec using IPMI that helps to monitor and sensor those components to ensure the system health. Usually, the next level in the system is the middleware located between the operating system and the application, which runs a dedicated recovery plan in case of a failure and actually uses the design advantages of the hardware and firmware, and the failure is non-transparent to the user. Using a well-established switch operating system like Telco Systems Minox reduces the needs and the cost for dedicated middleware applications and provide the high availability that requires. A good example is the redundancy on the switch blade level. When looking at the switch redundancy mechanism, we can roughly divide them into two groups. The first is active standby, where the passive blade is continuously updated and synchronized to the configuration and control plane. Once the amount of failures reaches the certain thresholds defined by the user, the blades will switch over. The active blade will become the standby, waiting for hot swap replacement or link recovery to be activated again, while the standby blade becomes active. The links that affect the switchover are either the front uplinks or the backplane downlinks. The second group is active-active, which allows a better distribution of traffic and higher throughputs of computing as long as there is no failure. Ports in the front panel and backplane can participate in the lag. The limitation in such implementation is the allowable bandwidth on the fabric channel which connecting both switches. Usually, these two mechanisms are used differently in different applications. While active standby is most popular in the core network, like LTE PC, active-active is popular in the metro Ethernet and PON aggregation layer. Next slide, please. After we discuss the system and blade level, we need to keep in mind that our solution is part of a complete network, and resiliency is needed to maintain the availability and service and flow. But this doesn't necessarily mean only internal in the ATCA system. There are different standards mechanisms that look at the link or service flow level. For a few examples, includes fast reroute in MPLS or G8032 Ethernet, both working somewhat similar way in a ring topology, as you can see in the lower right corner. When a pass is degraded below a certain threshold, the pass is delivered to an alternative route. MSTP and RSTP are not ring topology oriented, but have higher recovery time. Lag is used for both better utilization of link when higher amount of traffic is required, but as such, it also can act as a resiliency mechanism which is not affected by the failure of one of the links, but which are building the lags link. Multi-chassis lags take it one step forward. It actually builds a dual homing topology over two different nodes located in two different locations in the network. Next slide, please. I would like also to discuss a feature that is pretty common requirement from our customers, especially in the evolution to LTE and other related mobile applications which are packet-oriented. While advanced TCA system, as you've seen earlier in Peter's demonstration, built of various elements where the switch acts as a gateway to the external world, as a node in the network, it needs to be identified as a single IP port, no matter what port are being used. For example, nodes in the involved packet core architecture which communicate in the IP layer are easily establishing a connection and routing path between themselves. Using off-the-shelf Layer 3 OSS or any other Layer 3 management system recognize the nodes and can be integrated to the OSS relatively fast. In this case, the switch redundancy that we discussed in the previous slide will be transparent to the network no matter whatever it is active-active or active standby mode. Switch over or switch failure does not impact the network topology and the routing tables. Nevertheless, while the system level looks to be a router gateway, the flows and the service coming into the ATCA system still can be managed by a simple layer 2 or load balancing towards the payload blade, such as Advantech. We will elaborate further on the load balancing later in this webinar. Now let's discuss the shelf manager role. Back to you.
Okay, great. So Aviv covered some of the principles of HEA and resiliency. Peter, can you give us some insight into the elements of the disposal of a system architect from a shelf management perspective? Maybe you can describe some problems that the customers want resolved and features in shelf management that address those needs.
Yes, sure. What we're seeing here is a sample of a shelf manager, and what does it do? Well, it does what the name says. It is basically monitoring the system health. It takes care of blade and other fruits, hot swap, so they're coming in to the system, going out of the system, as well as, of course, the whole thermal management of a system. And because a shelf manager is so vital for a system operation, usually they come in pairs, to form a redundant pair of shelf managers with an automatic failover. And, of course, then the states need to be synchronized between those shelf managers. So that's the basics that you find in every ATCA system, but the shelf manager can do much more than that. So one aspect is to make ATCA look like a big network element, one appliance, instead of have it exposed as a collection of plates that happen to be in the same chassis. That's one aspect that we're trying to address at Advantech with the shelf manager. So our shelf manager tries to be the single service access point to a system. And for instance, we have a feature to access all shells and console windows of all blades through the shelf manager, which means that a user just needs to establish one session with the shelf manager and then can access all of the different consoles and shells. What a shelf manager also has is an interface usually to a higher level management entity, which is usually called the system manager. What we have done at Advantech is that we have integrated an extra Intel-based processor on the shelf manager, which allows to run that kind of system manager application on the shelf managers itself, which gives customers more flexibility. So one example of that is that the the Intel processor can act as a boot server for other blades in the system, and that can allow a customer to define the workload for certain blades. So in one scenario where you use a network element during business hours, the control plane capability may be very important because users make heavy use of their smartphones. There's a lot of sessions built up and torn down again, and everything is very dynamic. And in the evening hours when you have a big sports event on maybe your IPTV or video delivery network, you may reconfigure some of the blades to take care of video transcoding. And that is something where the shelf manager can help to launch different applications on the same hardware that's used dynamically for different workloads. And we have an extra feature that allows the shelf manager also to make sure that each of the blades are using the perfect BIOS settings that yield the best performance for each of those workloads.
Very good. So, Peter, you talked about the shelf management part. Aviv, maybe you can talk about the operation and maintenance OAM Ethernet side of things.
OEM tools are an essential part of every end-to-end solution, allowing service providers full control of their network and the service they offer, and allowing for easier and faster remote troubleshooting and improved real-time alarming and reporting. In order to simplify the overall management of those tools and to save providers or perks, it has to offer a simple and easy remote service turn-up. H2S service level verification means that the service provider can provide measurements of conditions in the network, including the following: fault detection and isolation, to identify the occurrence and the location of the problem, and ensure that the track roles are dispatched to the right places for the right reason. Delay, jitter, and bandwidth is tested between network components in order to validate SLA capabilities of the network prior to the initiation to the service offering, as well as ongoing verification after the service has been deployed. Performance monitoring to create proactive response before the network experiences problems. The available OEM standards today are Link OEM IEEE 802.3AH EFM, point-to-point link monitoring, link-based testing, alarms, and fault exchange. Transport and service layer OEM IEEE 802.1AG CFM, continue connectivity verification end-to-end per domain, alarm forwarding, loopback, and link trace t- testing. Service performance monitoring using Y1731, packet loss, delay verification. Embedded testing tools, performance measurements, RFC2544, embedded test head, and Y1564. These standards are being used over Ethernet or MPLS in carrier networks. The ability to accurate, analyze, and manage service more efficiently enable providers to say with confidence that these services are truly carrier class and guarantee that they deliver the SLA they committed to. Next slide, please. To complete the OEM, I would like to discuss a GUI management tool utilizing those OEM standards. These are several levels of management: managing the switchblade and ports, managing the full ATCA shelf, which is usually referred as EMS, element management software. However, service providers are typically most interested in the network service and service level assurance management. These are known as service management systems, systems that are typically allow you to provision the flow or service end-to-end across different platforms, while defining the main characteristics of the service with or without a connection to the physical port or platform, thus virtually completing assignments to every switching blade or port in the network. This system, combined with the onboard link, local quality of service, and local load balancing, makes your solution truly different and more efficient. Back to you, Kurt.
Great. So now we're to the section of the webinar where we're going to be talking about Datacom in particular. Peter is going to start out by summarizing the design challenges of applications that require deeper level of network intelligence and packet processing through high-speed I.O. right at the front of the systems architect's mind here. Peter, maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Once you move into Datacom, things get a little bit more tricky, so I tried to pick an easy-to-understand example here, and that's let's take a 400 gig bump in the wire equipment, something like a firewall that really connects to two different networks. That usually translates that you have 400 gig I/O for one network and another 400 gig to the other network, which means you have a total of 800 gig of I/O and traffic through that system. So it's very obvious that you need a lot of port density in these systems. And then if you look to say, well, but then you need to route all these packets inside the system, it's very obvious that your switching capacity is really crucial, because you already eat up 800 gig just for the I.O. That doesn't leave a lot of hops through the system backplane. That is another back problem to solve. And once you get your data and packets onto the backplane, for sure it is quite challenging then to process all this data. So the processing power that you need to squeeze into these systems is also a big challenge. So if we look at what a system could look like on this slide, and I picked something like DPI, but it could be a firewall as well or something similar, we still have the hubs here for the basic I/O and the basic switching inside the systems. And then we, of course, need blades here that can process and control the system, have the higher level flow processing, the application running inside the system. And of course, we would like to have blades in such a system that really are good at packet processing. So that can be an MPU, a high-performance interblade or something like that. But the real clue of such a system architecture comes in here, which is, well, add another two switchblades to the system. So that really resolves your bottlenecks on the switching capability as well as the IOs. And Advantech has that built into the standard, and it's called a dual star. So what that basically means is that instead of having just two switchblades, you can have four switchblades inside a system, and you have four star networks for fabric ports across the backplane. So what does a dual door star mean in particular to the blade design? Well, if you have four switches inside a system, of course, each of the processing blades needs to connect to those four switches, which means instead of having two 10 or two 40 gig ports on a blade, you all of a sudden need four 40 gig blades that pumps the throughput in and out of a blade from 80 gig to maximum 160 gigs. And the way we accomplish this at Advantech is using our special mezzanine cards, which we call the fabric mezzanine modules. We see a few examples here on the picture. So they're good for helping you with backplane connectivity, but also for offload and front I.O. So from that perspective, a dual dual star helps you with the switching I.O. The blades need to connect to four fabric ports, but for sure you need to make sure that the packets end up on the right blades where they should be processed. So that brings us to the next topic, which is actually load balancing features on the switch blades.
Okay, great. Aviv, maybe you can explain further about special software features that you typically find in high-end DPI applications like Peter was talking about.
Yes, Kurt and Peter, thank you. Actually, the load balancing contribute to the dual-dual star topology. And today we see more incentive connectivity between carriers, wireless, wireline, and mobile network to enterprises. Multi-source traffic is becoming more prevalent in the core processing equipment, bumping the wire application and data centers, and should be handled according to its significance or priority, and matches to the infrastructure resources capable of handling it. The most popular structure is to use the very expensive external load balancing devices with fixed configuration to load balance multiple traffic types. Having the load balancer embedded inside the ATCA switch saves the additional cost of external boxes, power, management, OPEX, and rack real estate. Being able to manage the flow according to available interconnect bandwidth and CPU usage inside the ATCA chassis ensure no extra unnecessary payload blades are required. Using integrated ATCA switch load balancing replaces the additional 1 plus 1 redundancy to N plus 1. Load balancing also performs as a high availability mechanism.
Hello, Aviv. Looks like we might have lost Aviv for a bit. Maybe we can just kind of move on to the next section. Peter, you were going to talk a little bit about 100 gig, and when Aviv comes back, maybe he can and take off with where he left off on the QoS stuff.
Yeah, sure. We can do that. Can you show the next slide, please,
sure.
Kurt?
Sure. I'll be taking care of that.
So systems that feature 100 gig ports, of course, present even a bigger challenge. So there's a few items that need to be addressed. So for some systems, the gigabit Ethernet base fabric may not be performing enough because inside the systems you may need to synchronize fairly a large control tables because a 100 gig port can mean it's 100 million flows easily, so the tables get pretty large and you really need to synchronize them very fast. So one aspect to look at is the base fabric bandwidth. And of course, then the 40 gig backplane interconnect is not performing enough, so you would want to have a way to connect 100 gig ports to the backplane to pump the system throughput. So that's really something that we need to look at for next generation network elements. And the problem is like 100 gig backplane is not really specified by IEEE, so it's all about time to market and finding some smart ways to address these problems. without sacrificing the benefits of ATCA. So do we have Aviv back?
I don't believe we do yet. Continue on.
Then we would have the poll next, I would say, before we go to the first section.
Okay.
I'm back on the line.
Very good. We're just kind of going through the poll question right now, Aviv, and then I think, Peter, you were going to give an overview about how some of the Advantech things you're involved with in responding to the high-speed networking equipment challenging issues here, and how ATCA continues to play a key role, I suppose. So, you can start with that here.
Yes, thanks, Bert. So, really, this whole 100 gig story brings us into the next discussion. And at Advantech, we really were scratching our heads how to break into that very high-end area of systems without really sacrificing the ATCA open standard and the ecosystem and the standard building blocks that are available. But still, there is a need to improve the system architecture, make it more flexible and smarter to address the needs that we just saw on the previous slide. So we also talked to various customers, and they said, well, customer A is doing stuff like this, customer B is doing it like that. So there's not one system architecture meets all demands. And moreover, we feel that at very high end, our customers want to differentiate, and that ties back into the hardware, as well as some of our customers have a secret sauce that needs to be integrated with such a system. And the result of all of that is what we call EATCA. So if we want to look at an example of what it can do, and this is a very basic example, is really scale up network appliances in a rack mount form factor into a more dense form factor, higher throughput networking element. So what we do is we integrate the multiple processing nodes, just like with standard ATCA. We integrate the switching, just like standard ATCA, and these are all off-the-shelf building blocks. But then we extend the size of the rear transition module. That's something ATCA, which is very space-limited. And we say, well, we can make it bigger and give it more PCB real estate, more power dissipation capability, and that's what we're doing. And then we put the same I.O. modules that we use in our appliances on those oversized RTMs, which means our customers can use building blocks that they're used to deploy in the field already on their appliance-based product and put them onto those RTMs. So that's very, very basic way of looking at EATCA. But it can do much more, and that's on this slide here. So if you want to go really to the very high-end networking gear, we still use the same standard blades, switches, and all those elements that get refreshed by the ecosystem when new silicon from Intel or all the other vendors pops up in the market. But on the rear transition modules, this time, we can do something totally different. So for instance, we can put traffic managers attached to switches, to node blades, to MPU blades and these things. We can add accelerators or offload processing to an IA where it may not be optimum performance. We can decide to do it with a special purpose offload. We can integrate storage. We can add additional switching capacity to a system. And most importantly, we can add customer secret sauce without having to design a custom blade on the front for him. And the customer, once, like Intel is refreshing silicon like every year, once there's new Intel silicon, he can upgrade to that new technology without touching the RTM design. So
okay,
that's
great.
What ATCA is about.
Yeah, EATCA sounds interesting. Do you have any examples?
Yeah, that's shown here on this slide. So we discussed a lot how to take this to market, and basically seeing is believing. So the problem we faced is that a 14 plus 14 slot system, I think, weighs around 150 kilos or 300 pounds. So it's not the thing you want to carry around as a sales guy to show to your customers. So what we have created is a two-slot system that explains the concept and all the benefits to customers, which is shown here. So this is a 2 plus 2 slot. So you have two front and two rear slots, each at 300 watts. You have shelf managers, like on ATCA. You have the front blade, which is also a standard ATCA blade, no modification to that. And in the back, you see one of those oversized RTM modules, which are tailored to host I.O. cards, but can be customized to whatever the customer wants.
Okay, great. So now we're to the summing section. Aviv, now that you're back, can you sum up the presentation material?
Yes, sorry, the line was disconnected. They probably didn't use our OEM capabilities. But those of you that would like to hear further about our ATCA load balancer and H-course, I'll be happy after the seminar to elaborate. And to summarize the ATCA and switching capabilities from a blade and network and full system capability, the 40 gig E and the 10 gig E ATCA switches from telco systems answers the need to support increasing bandwidth while saving CapEx and OpEx, not only with high availability hardware design, but also with the enhanced set of software tools that are implemented onto the board and can be customized for your specific applications and be part of our roadmap. Our reliable, field-proven, carrier-grade operating system that runs on these switches provides unique feature sets for the telecom area and the datacom, such as quality of service, H-course, OEM, load balancing, redundancy, and much more. This acts as a powerful tool to enable carriers to control the network and not just to be or provide dumb pipes. This solution will allow you, as an OEM, more easily build your system solution without having a deal with software and hardware integration from different parties and having a switch software maintenance effort in the production phase. Using service management solution not only shorten time to market for vendors building solution on ATCA, but gives carrier the ability to easily manage it using ATCA infrastructure as part of their entire core access networks. At the same time, as an open platform to add their own application. This is very related to the SDN concept that is being ramping up lately, thus saving on the cost of additional external devices, optimizing equipment, and switching. I want to thank you all for joining us today and hand it back to Peter and Kurt, a summary before we move to the Q&A section.
Great. Okay, Peter, can you summarize?
Yes. So this slide is full of text, and I think it's more intended for reference for those who want to download the slides and have a look at it afterwards. So I don't want to read all the text. But just to explain what's where, left-hand column is really summarizing the benefits of ATCA it is today. It's already pretty outstanding, and it's widely deployed with the feature sets that you see in that left-hand column. The center column is what we're deploying today as an evolved architecture that yields higher system throughputs, especially using the dual star architectures, using more flexibility for offload or I/O, and these things using a fabric mezzanine concept, using bigger flexibility for customization and adoption, for the shelf managers, and also the advanced load balancing capabilities that especially Aviv has talked about. And the right-hand column is actually where we are moving next with EATCA, which a allows us to tailor smarter system architectures without breaking backwards compatibility with standard ATCIA, so customers can still enjoy the ATCIA ecosystem and get kind of free technology refreshes on those front plates, but yet can adapt smarter or different system architectures, integrate their secret sauce, and of course in these architectures also our enhanced shelf management, which we briefly talked about, also comes into play. And I think that's my summary, and I also want to thank all the guys who bear with us for that long. It was really a pleasure to run this webinar.
All right, great. So we're to the Q&A section. Let's get right to it. There are some questions about QoS and load balancing. It was kind of where the Aviv kind of left the conference. Aviv, can you talk a little bit about load balancing and QoS aspects of ATCA and the switchblade?
Sure. Thank you for this opportunity. What we are load balancing is actually doing is inspecting the traffic that's coming inside the switchblade, the multi-source, in order to decapsulate VPNs as MPLS, URE, GTP, and IPsec, in order to look at the specific fields, in order to filter some of the non-relevant traffic, in order to do hashing, and then direct it to a specific bucket, and this bucket knows to direct it to load balance to a specific payload blade, and running a dynamic matrix that is being updated every time according to the different scenarios and redundancy and availability and load that was described earlier. And that's our mechanism.
Okay, great. All right, thanks. Hopefully that gave you a little bit of overview on the load balancing and Q&A, and you can certainly talk to Advantech and Telco Systems after the conference as well. Here's a question to Aviv, I believe. Can we add additional switchblade to the original two management blades plus one switchblade?
If I understand this question correctly, so yes, this is the topology that Peter was speaking about of dual star. And if the backplane and the architecture support it, we don't see any problems with that.
Okay, great. Peter, what type of storage do you use in these ATCA and eATCA solutions?
Yes. The problem with ATCA and storage is basically it's not a topology problem. It's mostly that these big systems, and that's like for any of the bigger blade server standards that are out there, have pretty heavy fans, fast RPM fans that create a lot of system vibration. So inevitably, it is difficult to integrate a lot of spinning disk in these big systems. So the most common use case is to use a limited number of spinning disks and deploy more SSDs.
Okay. There was a question about how you supply power to the RTM. Aviv, can you cover that one?
I believe Peter will be a
Peter?
Better one to answer it, although I can elaborate afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is just the same kind of power connector that you have on the front plate. So there's an extra power backplane that is on the rear side. So basically you have the same power delivery that I like to a front plate.
Okay. Very good. Maybe, Aviv, you can give an example of the kind of ATCA-specific application that uses OAM. Are there specific applications for that?
Sure. Mostly deployed, but not only deployed. We see it in the carrier Ethernet aggregation switches, which using ATCA. We see it in the PON OLT, which is connected on one hand is optical, on the other hand it's connected to the metro Ethernet rings, has this requirement. But also more popular like radio network controllers that are connected eventually, seeing it as an added value for them and would like it implemented, getting for free in their system.
Okay. Peter, is an SDHC card reliable enough for system logging?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there is two commands to that. Actually, we have two cards, not just one, but basically we also have an internal flash that stores logging. So the SD card is just an easy way to extract the log physically when you're in front of the machine and get it out of the system. So there is a double storage of the logs. Make sure that everything is stored and available when you really need that log data, which is unlikely. In case something goes wrong with the system, you don't want to have to search for your logs. You want to have them right at your fingertips.
Okay. Well, very good. Let's see. I think maybe we have a question, enough time for one more here. Is the ATCA, EATCA storage SATA, SAS, or possibly PCIe based? And where do you see the interface type moving to? Maybe PCIe.
That is an interesting one. So I would say in most of the SSDs, it's SATA, right, because it's the cheapest interface.
Right.
Spinning disks tend to be SAS-based. And there's a lot of interest in PCIe native SSDs, and we're implementing some of those in our next generation appliances, not on ATCA, but some of our appliances will feature PCIe-based native SSDs. So we're working with all of the three, I have to say.
Okay. Do you see one kind of dominating or a new one emerging, or is it just kind of all three?
Well, historically, everything has been spinning disk.
Uh-huh.
And people that just really go for lots of capacity, they are still usually trying to use spinning disk. And even what you can integrate with ATCA is not enough, so they usually need interfaces to external JBoss and whatsoever just to get the capacity. A lot of people that may be more centric of caching data and buffering data, like in a video environment, they need IO ops. So they are more into a mixture of spinning disk and SSDs or just SSDs, but that's mostly SATA today.
Okay.
And a lot of people looking forward to deploy just native PCI Express for lower cost but also higher performance.
Okay. Well, very good. Unfortunately, that brings us to the conclusion of our time here. I want to thank Peter and Aviv so much for providing your insights and experiences on ATCA and telecom and datacom. We at Open Systems Media, Advantech, and Telco Systems want to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing all those great questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded, space, e-cast, and find all of Open Systems Media eCasts available for download as MP3s. Thanks for attending, and have a great day.